The first item of business is an organizational meeting and the adoption of committee rules. On your committee rules, you have on number 13, which addresses the minority report. And with that section, I'm eliminating, so the minutes, the proposed rules are the same, except you eliminate 13 and change 14 to 13, 15 to 14.
Mr. Chair, is that a motion to remove that?
I'm removing it. I need a motion to do that?
I think.
Schaffler?
Mr. Chair, I move you remove section 13 from the committee rules. And that we adopt the rules as amended.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any questions?
Gee, why are we changing them? Just curious.
Because I don't like it.
Because the chair wanted to.
Hey, well. Okay, roll call, please.
Aye.
No.
Vice Chair Schaffler?
Aye.
Vice Chair Scott?
No.
And Chair Bark?
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Dana, please.
Are you guys going to do a minority report? Kidding.
Okay, and next thing is public hearing and possible work session. The public hearing on House Bill 3625. I got several people signed up, Mr. Evans and Mr. Willis.
Oh, but I wish I would have done that today.
We're in a work session.
We're
I was hoping we're in a work session. We can move faster.
Yeah. This bill, if it passes, goes on to the Ways and Means, as referred down Ways and Means.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I'll try to be brief. My name is Paul Evans. I was here not long ago. I am a policy advisor for Governor Kongoski, and this does represent a priority for the governor, this bill. I want to make sure that from the very beginning, people recognize that the military department, the Oregon Economic Community Development Department, and Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs are all together on this particular bill. It is what we believe is a small but important bill, hopefully fitting with the mindset and expectations for the February session. It is designed specifically to help veterans that own small businesses that are mobilized to serve, and then to basically help them get their businesses back on track. That is the purpose of the bill. A couple of small points just to make sure that that they're out there. It is a what we're calling kind of a niche bill in terms of $20,000 in loans, zero interest loans, to help small business people with the possibility of up to $40,000 if exigencies are there. That's the limit for this particular program. We want to make sure that that's clear. There are some federal programs that have a $50,000 to $500,000 limit. We're not trying to get in that business. We're not trying to duplicate efforts, but we recognize that there is a gap in service, and that's really the focus of this bill.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Willis.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jim Willis. I'm director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. I think that Mr. Evans did a very good job of talking about the purpose of the bill, so I will talk about how we arrived at the fix. Following the 2007 session, I met with Bob Repine, the director of the Department of Community and Economic Development, and General Mike Caldwell, the deputy director of the Oregon Military Department, as well as members of the National Guard Reintegration Team and members of the Active Reserve, Army and Navy in this case. It was clear to all of us that if possible, a loan fund should be set aside for the express purpose of repairing these veteran-owned businesses by utilizing, as Mr. Evans said, a 0% loan program. Such loan to be subject to an application process, standard underwriting practices, and a payment schedule that would enable the veteran to restart their business and at the same time be able to afford to repay the loan. The Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs has been in the home loan business since 1945 and has broad experience in lending public monies for this purpose. While this loan differs from the home loan program, We have worked and will continue to work with the Oregon Department of Community and Economic Development and the small business development centers across the state to ensure that the application for these loans are complete and contain the elements necessary for the success of these veteran-owned businesses. I also have with me today a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom who was and is a veteran small business owner who I believe in his testimony at whatever point you choose to call him would be able to bring to light and a perfect example. I could have brought a number of folks, but in the interest of time, I brought one really good example of what the issue is here. And so to prep the committee for that, I'll just tell you that he is David Allen Burkhart. He is a major in the United States Army Reserve. And he'll talk about, of course, as I said, his experiences as both a deployed soldier and as a small veteran business owner. He's a 19-year military veteran, a field grade officer who has earned the Bronze Star, the Combat Action Badge, the Global War on Terror Medal, two awards of the Army Commendation Medal, and two awards of the Army Achievement Medal. He is a respected leader among his soldiers and has worked very hard in the private sector to restart his business, and I'll leave that to him to talk about at whatever time the committee wishes to call him. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you or the committee members might have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you. And Major Burkhart, why don't you come on up?
Chairman Barker, members of the committee, Major David Burkhart, I'm with the Army Reserve 70th ROC Regional Readiness Command, and I served in Iraq from 2006 through 2007. Excuse me, a little nervous.
Take your time.
I was notified of my deployment on 28 March 06 to report for active duty 15 April. So gave me about 17 days for a year and a half of duty. I anticipated this deployment, and as a small business owner, did everything I could possibly do to prepare for the deployment. However, it did cause hardship during the deployment. Before I go in, I just want to say I want everybody to really remember the soldiers that have died on the battlefield. I was out there when many of my soldiers had passed away. It's brutal. It's tough. There's no background music. It is just, it's hard. And it's even harder on the family. So please keep those in your thoughts when you hear about them. I'm a small business owner, Service Pest Control, Inc., and we serve the military department, actually Oregon National Guard Military Department, did their pest control. 3,000 monthly accounts, 6 employees. When I was deployed, it was my business partner had a challenge, a very hard challenge ahead of him, because I was pretty much kind of the go-to guy. I was the one that basically signed the checks and made things happen. It slowly deteriorated, got behind in bills, accounts left, and I came back. We assessed the situation with the company, found that I could not go back to the company. So folded Service Pest Control, and my partner and I decided that here's how we're going to separate ways. I opened a new company under my own name, and just as a sole partner or sole individual. I did that in September of 06. And now I am barely able to write myself the first check. During the time when I came back, I sat down with my wife and I said, what's our best course of action? Should I get back into the pest control company? Because we assume some of the debt from the failing company. Should I try to find another line of work, either with government or private? So I put out resumes. And one of the things that came out over and over in the interviews was, You're in the Army Reserve. Yes, I am. And you served in Iraq for 15 months. Yes, I did. Are you still in the Army Reserve? Yes, I am. Do you have to go back? I could. I don't know. Thank you very much. And that ends most of my conversations or interviews with prospective employers. So sitting down with my wife, we looked and said, really, the only course of action we have right now is for me to go after the accounts that I had with Service Pest Control and get enough to get an income coming in. Because we're living off our savings. When I was deployed, we lived off what we had in savings. We anticipated it, and we were frugal. We lived within our means. And so while I was deployed, we lived off our savings. And coming back, we said, we have this much money. How can we get income coming back in? So the best course of action was to start my own company, go after a few select accounts that were left with Service Pest Control. So with that, we moved forward. Now we're here coming into February, able to write myself the first check. We're still not out of the woods. And every month is just, because Service Pest Control was 12 years in making for me. And it failed, fairly quickly. It's surprising. And then for us to come back and look for other jobs is really tough, because you hear on the news, 2, 3, 4 deployments. And I fly with KPTV Channel 12 at Hillsborough Aviation, which contracts to the TV station. It's a part-time job. And when I came back with them as a part-time job, in addition to the pest control, they said, are you going to go back to Iraq? Well, I don't know. So they're making decisions based on that. So it's tough. It is really tough. And so some of these, you don't have a choice. It make or break. And so I went forward with this. And ODVA helped me out with a grant, which actually was the difference between, in September was my drop dead date. That meant in September, if I was not making a benchmark of money, I would reassign and I'd go back on the deployment. And I talked to my wife about it. We didn't have a choice. So I think with ODVA, I'm here today and not back in Iraq. So this is very, very important.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes.
Obviously something that's working. That's great. I had no idea there were pests at the National Guard.
We could get a contract with you in this building.
I was going to say, maybe in this building we could get.
Well, don't cringe. I mean, we're in a rainforest. There's ants and spiders and things. Maybe we all have them. But
well, you've made a very compelling case.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Harley Ray and Harlan Levy.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Harlan. You can get the next one.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker, members of the committee. For the record, I am Harlan Levy here on behalf of the National Federation of Independent Business. We are a small business advocacy group with offices in all 50 state capitals in Washington, D.C. We have approximately 7,500 members here in Oregon, and I am pleased and honored to be here today to testify in support of this bill. We think this is an excellent program. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I hope that you move this bill through the process and that it passes overwhelmingly. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Appreciate the brief statements there. Bob Rapine and Stephen Weiss. Please go ahead, whoever would like to start.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'm Bob Repine, Director of Oregon Economic and Community Development Department.
here to testify in support, proudly testify in support of House Bill 3625. As you heard Director Willis mention, we were involved in some of the preliminary discussions as we were kind of thinking through the what are the details that would bring a bill like this to the Legislative Assembly. What's being passed out to you right now is really some brief comments of the roles that we see our agency playing in this effort. And let me just touch on a couple of those, if I might, Mr. Chairman. Again, we were initially discussing with this, we discussed this with the Department of Veterans on how we can assist them in making this a reality for our returning veterans. As Director Willis mentioned, they're very good in house loans. They've done millions of them for the state of Oregon and doing very well. Small business loans are a little bit different character, and my agency has business finance officers that do reviews on an ongoing basis, daily, from $1 million to multi-$1 million applications of businesses to small entrepreneur-type loans, as I allude to in my testimony. So we thought and felt that there was a opportunity to use us as a resource with these applications that would be coming forth as this money may be made available. So the role we would play is somewhat behind the curtain. So applications would be forwarded to the Veterans Department. They would review it. They would send those over to us. We would do a business analysis on the application, report back to them what we found the value of the application was and what we felt either the strengths or the weaknesses were. And assuming that the direction from my department would be that we felt it was a good loan, a solid loan for them to consider, we would then, I think the key piece for us, which really kind of brings it out to the local communities, is to then link up that veteran with the small business development centers in their region. I mean, we have a great asset around the state of Oregon. It's located, I think, around 19 of them around the state of Oregon. And this would be a wonderful tool to... So just giving money to an individual is important, but giving them also some continual direction on how they can keep growing and prospering that business opportunity, I think, is extremely important. So we would be able to work with the small business development centers who work through my budgeting process, as you all aware, to create that partnership. And I've had some preliminary discussions with them. They seem very receptive to this partnership. So I think that's another value added that we will be able to create for our veterans as they come back. And then the other part is, quite frankly, it's a great entree for us as a agent of the state of Oregon who makes business loans to find a new cohort of business partners. Once they get past the graduation stage of small business activities, we have a series of other loans that go into the millions of dollars that might be the absolute perfect loan for them to come back to us and sit down and discuss how they could grow that business to the next level. So it's a win-win for everybody, purely a great win for Oregon as we see our returning veterans coming back.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Stephen Weiss. I'm representing an organization in Oregon called Military Families Speak Out. We're an organization of families that have members in the military, immediate family. My son, for instance, is a Marine. He just got back from Iraq in December. He'll be going back again in August. I'm not a paid lobbyist or anything, but represent the organization. I obviously support this bill. However, and maybe this is as much of a question as a comment, because I'm not familiar with the other programs that you have, just having gotten into this. It seems like it's fairly narrow and limited so much. And two ways I call that out. One is the definition of who could apply for these loans is someone in the National Guard or a member of the reserves at the time they were deployed or mobilized. And so it leaves out people such as my son who are in the active military and who might come back and want to start a small business. And that's a real lack. Or they were in the active military when they were deployed. They come back and they join the reserves or join the National Guard. But according to the technical definition here, they still wouldn't qualify because they weren't a member of the reserves or guard at the time of their deployment. So it just sort of leaves out active military. So I'm hoping that could be fixed, although if it's covered in some other program, that would be fine, too. I believe that the skills that a soldier has are not recognized in a standard loan application. I ran a small business in West Salem for 16 years, the bicycle doctors, and I understand trying to get loan money is tough in any case for a small business. Small businesses are always on the edge. But at least my record and so on in that business could speak for itself. A soldier coming back might have been a sergeant, for instance, commanding a platoon with $20 million worth of equipment, people in danger in a command situation, extremely good discipline skills. They're not recognized on a standard application, those kinds of things. A loan officer at a bank would say, well, yeah, but you know, what's your business experience? And so having the Veterans Department run it, they're going to be much more understanding of that thing. So this can't just be done by banks. So it's not just the fact that they're getting an interest-free loan. I mean, obviously that's important, but it's also the fact that the Veterans Department would be administrating it, that it's very good. So I urge you, obviously, to pass this bill, but I'm hoping that maybe it could be expanded to cover people like my son. I just wanted to finally say that my organization, Military Families Speak Out, we're an anti-war group. We are working to bring the troops home, but we hope that with all Oregonians, whether they're for the war or against the war or somewhere in between as many positions, that we'll all support our troops and we'll all take care of them when we get home, and we're united in that fact wherever we are on the political spectrum. So thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. I'll just a brief explanation. This is, you know, a short session, and so I asked the military department, what is a critical issue that we can take care of for you? And this was a gap, and the gap is for somebody who has a small business who gets called away and they lose their clients while they're gone when they come back. And so that's what we're trying to address here. There are other programs, and we will address other programs in the next session. We look forward to doing that. And I know I speak for everybody sitting up here and probably everybody in the room. We appreciate the service of your son. It's important, and fewer and fewer Americans are serving in uniform for the rest of us, and that's we owe them quite a bit. And these kind of programs to help them when they come home are really important. The Oregon National Guard is a leader in helping people return to civilian life, and the rest of the country is looking up to General Caldwell and so on, the way they do that, and we're really happy that we have those kind of programs in place for these guys coming back. And we're having more hearings about the mental health problems and so on.
Right. So to expand this or to change the definition, which would obviously widen the program, we'd have to wait until next session. This is pretty locked in now.
It is, because, and also because of the financial part, we've, you know, tried to get that lined up so that we can pass and get through the economic forecast we're getting on Friday. But anyway, so this was a pretty limited piece, and we did that on purpose so that we could get it passed. And so we'll look forward to seeing you come back, and you can work with small, talk to them too, and the Veterans Department, Oregon Veterans Department, and see if there's something.
Just there. Because it doesn't seem like it would have much financial impact, being this is a loan program. I mean, some might be default, but most are going to get paid back. It doesn't seem like it's much financial impact.
Well, we have a financial on about $300,000, which is small in the big picture, but those are getting harder to come by. I mean, the people in the Ways and Means Committee, the people that handle those, have told me that when you bring in a request, show me where it's coming from. Either you're going to raise taxes, which isn't going to happen, or it's got to come out of another program. And that's why it's a pretty limited effort this time.
Okay.
But thank you very much for your testimony. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions at all? Let's vote. You want to make the motion?
Sure.
Okay. Where is it?
Any work session?
Yeah. Well,
you
thank you.
Do a work session.
Close the public hearing and open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3625... be referred to full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Representative Scott moves House Bill 3625 to full Ways and Means with a due pass. Are there any questions? Call the roll.
Call the roll, please.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Lopez.
Aye.
Vice Chair Chalk.
Aye.
Vice Chair Scott.
Aye.
And Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. Mr. Tudor, you give us a rundown on the upcoming meetings, please.
Chair members of the committee, we've been working with Jim Willis and others to put some meetings on for the next oversight meetings, educational meetings. This Thursday, we'll be hearing from the U.S. Department of Labor on veterans' employment issues. Next Monday at 4 o'clock rather than 5 o'clock, we'll be, Congresswoman Hooley will be addressing the committee on veterans' issues, reintegration, mental health issues. And then the following day on Tuesday, we'll be hearing from the Oregon, the National Guard, and the Oregon State Bar on legal issues that veterans face when they come home. For example, any of you in the service probably remember the old Soldiers and Sailors Civil Relief Act, and that you can't really sue someone when they're in the military. Well, people have been suing them when they're in the military and coming back and say, go get a lawyer. So.
Good. And one other piece of business we have today, we had received an email from George Kudzus. And he asked that this be entered into the record, so Mr. Taylor, if you take care of that.
Sure, that will be.
And you probably have, everybody probably had a saw a copy of that. Okay. Is there any further business to come before the committee today?
No.
You're adjourned. Thank you.
You're welcome.